All right, so get ready because we're diving into some seriously deep stuff today. We've got excerpts from Henri Bergson's Time and Free Will. And let me tell you, this is going to challenge how we think about pretty much everything we take for granted. Time, free will, even our own emotions.
And that's what makes Bergson so brilliant. He takes something as familiar as time, something we all think we understand, and he just turns it on its head.
Okay, so walk me through this. Where do we even begin?
Well, think about how we usually talk about time. You know, we say, I'm running out of time, or time flies when you're having fun, right? Like, it's this ruler ticking away second by second, a straight line from past to present to future. But Bergson, he says that's not really how we experience time at all. He calls our lived experience of time duration.
Duration. So it's not just about minutes and seconds.
Not even close. Think about a favorite childhood memory.
Okay.
It's not just a dot on a timeline, right? It's a jumbled up mix of sensations and emotions all tangled together, and a clock just can't capture that.
Right, like when you hear a song you haven't heard in years, and suddenly you're right back in that moment. No way to measure that on a watch. But how does this duration idea connect to free will?
That's the core of Bergson's argument.
Yeah.
Because we tend to think of time spatially as this straight line. We get trapped by this idea of determinism. You know, like our past dictates our future, just like a train follows a track.
Okay, so if we're stuck on these predetermined tracks of time, then how can we have free will? It's like our choices are already made for us.
Exactly. But Bergson says not so fast. He says our inner lives are fluid, they're constantly changing, just like that childhood memory you described. Our actions, they can't be predicted by some simple formula.
So they're not pre-programmed.
Right. He gives this example of deciding to open a window. You might not even remember why you stood up, but that initial intention, it still led to your action.
That was like our body remembers even when our mind doesn't. That's wild. But what about things outside of us? External factors? Those influence our choices too, right?
Yeah.
Like if someone cuts you off in traffic, that automatically makes you angry.
That's where Bergson throws us a curveball. He says the same cause doesn't always lead to the same effect within us because we're not static beings. The same trigger is going to hit us differently each time depending on what we're bringing to the table.
So you're telling me just because someone cuts me off in traffic today doesn't mean I'll react the same way tomorrow.
Exactly. He uses this example of smelling a rose. The scent of the rose itself is constant, but what it triggers in you, what memories and emotions it evokes, well, that's totally unique to you and your experiences.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
Like some people might be transported back to their grandma's garden while others think of a first date. Same rose, completely different reactions. Yeah. So we're not just robots programmed to respond the same way every time. Our past experiences, they really color our present actions. But if we're not robots and our past isn't calling all the shots, then how much control do we really have? Where does free will actually fit into all of this? This is what gets me, because if our feelings are always in this state of flux, you know, like this duration thing, then how do we make any decisions?
You know, that's something Bergson wrestled with a lot. He challenges that whole traditional model of decision making. You know the one I mean. Like we're all just sitting there weighing pros and cons like some kind of robot.
Yeah, it does seem kind of simplistic when you put it like that. Like we're all just walking calculators trying to make the most logical choice every single time.
Right. And Bergson's like, come on, life's not like that. He says our decisions, they're influenced by all these different things, past experiences, gut feelings, stuff we're not even aware of. And it's all churning around within this flow of duration.
So it's not just about the decision itself. It's about everything that's led us to that point.
Yeah.
Like our whole history is playing into every choice we make.
You got it. Bergson actually compares consciousness to a snowball rolling down a hill. It picks up all these layers, all these new experiences as it goes, and it's constantly changing and growing.
I like that analogy. So if we're always evolving like this snowball, there's no way to pinpoint one single reason for why we do anything.
Exactly. Our inner lives are way too fluid for that. Even we might not know everything that's behind a particular choice. And that's where Bergson brings in this idea of intuition.
Intuition. Okay, so we're not just logic machines. We've got gut feelings too. Tell me more about this intuition thing. How did Bergson define it?
So for him, intuition, it wasn't the opposite of intellect or anything. It was just a different way of knowing. He saw intellect as being great for stuff that's fixed and unchanging, like math or physics.
That makes sense. 2 + 2 always equals 4.
Right.
Gravity doesn't just take a break because it's Tuesday.
Exactly. But our inner world, well, that's not so easily pinned down, is it? When we try to apply that same rigid intellectual thinking to our emotions or to life itself, which is constantly changing, Well, we miss a lot.
We need a different kind of intelligence for that.
Yes. And that's where intuition comes in. It lets us tap into that fluid, dynamic part of reality that logic just can't grasp.
I think a lot of people can relate to that. We've all had those times where we just had a feeling about something, even if we couldn't explain it. And sometimes those feelings are more accurate than our carefully thought out plans. But is intuition something we can develop? Or are we stuck with however much we're born with?
That's a great question. I've always wondered about that too. Like, okay, intuition is powerful and all, but can I actually get better at it? Or am I just stuck with whatever my gut decides to tell me? You know, Bergson believed that everyone has that capacity for intuition, that it's part of what makes us human. But he also said that in our modern world, we tend to prioritize logic and intellect over these more subtle ways of knowing.
It's true. We're often taught to ignore those gut feelings, you know, those flashes of insight. Like intuition is somehow less valuable or even unreliable.
Yeah, we learn to doubt those inner whispers instead of listening to them. But Bergson says intuition isn't irrational. It's just a different kind of intelligence, a way of tapping into this deeper understanding of ourselves and the world around us.
So how do we start tuning into that intuitive side, especially after spending so much of our lives valuing logic and reason?
Well, Bergson thought that practices like meditation could help, you know, quieting that constant chatter of the intellectual mind and allowing space for intuition to come through.
Like when you're trying to hear someone whisper in a noisy room, you have to quiet all the noise around you to actually hear it.
Exactly. When we create that inner stillness, we can become more aware of those subtle feelings and insights that we might otherwise miss.
So it's about finding ways to create space for those intuitive whispers to come through, to start trusting those gut feelings a bit more. But then how do we actually apply that to our lives? Like, it's one thing to have an intuition, but how can we be sure we're not misinterpreting it or letting our own biases get in the way?
That's where discernment comes in. Bergson didn't think we should just blindly follow every hunch or whim we have. He talked about cultivating this kind of reflective awareness, noticing those intuitive nudges, yeah, but also considering them in the context of our values and our experiences.
So it's like a dance between intuition and reflection, between feeling and thinking.
Yeah, it's not about throwing out logic completely. It's more about recognizing that intuition has its own intelligence, its own way of guiding us. And as we practice listening to and trusting our intuition, we can start making choices that are more in line with who we really are, even if those choices don't always make sense on a purely rational level.
This has been such an eye-opening conversation. It's made me realize how often I just dismiss those intuitive feelings instead of really exploring them. Bergson's ideas really make you think differently about everything, not just about time and free will, but about how we understand our own inner world.
And that's what makes Bergson so relevant, I think, especially today. You know, in a world that's constantly demanding us to do more, think faster, make sense of all this information, his work encourages us to slow down, to tune in, and listen to those whispers of intuition.
It's a good reminder that there's this whole world of inner wisdom just waiting to be explored if we can just create the space to listen. And on that note, we'll leave you with this final thought. What if, by tapping into our intuition, into that deeper sense of self, we can not only make better choices for ourselves, but also help create a more just and compassionate world?